Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Friday edition of the program live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Thanks for being with us. Hope you've been with us every day this week. We do this show weekdays at 11 a.m. Coverage of Indiana, coverage of Southern Indiana sports right here on the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, if you can't be with us live, you can always find our podcast available each day on Apple Podcast and also SoundCloud as well. Couple things to get to. We got a lot to get to in the show, but right out of the gate, some recruiting stuff. That's kind of what's moving the needle this time of year. And that would typically be the discussion a lot, even without the coronavirus pandemic that has shut almost everything else down. But recruiting is continuing, although it's not on campuses, and it's obviously not coaches going out to watch players, which would be happening again later this month and then again in July on a typical basis. But last night, Indiana lost out on one prospect. And then also last night, it almost was like there was a timing involved in this. An offer went out to a new player, and this is the second day in a row that we've seen a new offer, scholarship offer, go out from Archie Miller and the coaches to a class of 2022 players, so a junior for next year in high school basketball. So we'll talk about all of that and more coming up here in our headline segment. Let's take a look at the show lineup. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll talk about the commitment last night that did not go Indiana's way. We'll talk about the new scholarship offer. Activity happening yesterday on the IU campus with some basketball players. We'll talk about that and some other headlines coming up here in just a moment. Also, later in the show, Josh Rogers, New Albany product. Obviously, a University of Louisville baseball standout, drafted into the Yankees organization, traded to the Orioles organization. He joins us here in New Albany as he is finding out what happens with baseball this season. Obviously, Josh is still rehabbing in the final stages of rehabbing from an arm injury from the Tommy John surgery, but we're going to catch up with him about everything, his health, what he thinks is going to happen with baseball this year, a lot of different subjects. So stay with us. Josh Rogers joins us in segment number two today. And then later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. He's always with me. We've got some basketball topics to talk about. We're always keeping an eye on what's going on with the restart of high school sports, the return to athletics in our state, basketball tournaments as far as AAU and travel stuff. If you're daring enough to do it, it can actually start today, according to the return to normalcy, new normal, maybe is the right word from Governor Holcomb's office, the back on track Indiana plan. So all of that and more with Kyle Neddenrip when he joins us a little bit later in the hour. The show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. And you can dine in, pick up, and curbside service at Honey Baked Ham. It's still available. And don't forget the 50% off bone-in ham special still going on as well. It's a terrific deal, but it's only going on for a limited time at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's transition to our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Last night, many of you watching to see what Trey Patterson up in New Jersey decided and announced on his college decision. Patterson, a 2021 forward, nationally ranked. Indiana was thought to be in really good shape, but not sure that they could beat out Villanova down the stretch. At least that was the call, the prediction from a lot of the national recruiting people, and that's exactly what happened last night. Trey Patterson did pick Villanova in a video and an announcement that was put on social media just after the 7 o'clock hour. He picks Villanova over Indiana and also Florida. Those were his final three schools. So Indiana made up a lot of ground there. They appeared to be in a good situation, about as good of a situation as they could be in, unless they were going to be Villanova that landed him. So what this does for Indiana, they're obviously in pursuit of some forwards for this 2021 and even 2022 classes coming up. We already knew Trey Kaufman right here in the backyard is the number one prospect that Indiana is giving all sorts of attention to, trying to make him to Bloomington a reality. And things like Trey Patterson committing elsewhere only increases the reasons that Indiana needs Trey Kaufman, and I'm sure that they will let him know that in the way that they contact him and recruit him in the coming days. He obviously could be a big piece to not just keeping the momentum in the state going for Archie Miller from a recruiting side of things, but truly for a positional need in the program moving forward. Trey Kaufman fills a big gap with his versatility and what he's able to do as a forward. Also last night, some recruiting news. Indiana has offered another player. This is the second day in a row that a scholarship offer has went out. Five-star 2022 forward. You're hearing that position a lot when it comes to recruiting right now for Indiana. His name is A.J. Casey, and he goes to Tinley Park, which is in Chicago or basically right out of Chicago. He got an offer from IU, 6'8", ranked number 24 nationally in the 2022 class by the 24/7 Sports Composite Index of Rankings. He's got a number of schools that have already offered him: Illinois, DePaul, Tulane, Kansas, Purdue, Nebraska, Iowa State as well. Gonzaga has expressed interest. He's got a lot of Big Ten schools also expressing interest. So another name for the 2022 board, a day after Deontay Davis of Warren Central received an offer, now is A.J. Casey. And I tell you what, speaking of like recruiting, and I know we talked yesterday with Alex Bozich, great Romeo Langford story that was on Inside the Hall yesterday, but when you hear these guys, these young recruits, and they get offers and they're quoted in different stories about their offers or what do they think about Indiana now that Coach Miller's offered them a scholarship, so often they mention Romeo Langford, they mention Eric Gordon, they mention Cody Zeller, they mention Vic Oladipo, some of the players that have went on to have NBA careers and get drafted and find success at the next level. And even Trace Jackson Davis, with him becoming a pro prospect, we think in the future, you know, he's interacting, I saw yesterday on Twitter, with Deontay Davis of Warren Central, you know, already encouraging him to be a Hoosier and to keep the in-state momentum. And so that's why you look back on things, and no matter what type of success IU has with Trace Jackson Davis, whether they get it in gear this year and absolutely make a run in the NCAA tournament and shock the world, obviously that would be a dream scenario, or whether they don't. And no matter what success Indiana didn't have when Romeo Langford was here, just the fact that they were Hoosiers, the fact that players nowadays, it needs to be relatable. And those guys are so relatable to the players. They know who they are. They've seen their highlight videos. They know they're in the NBA. And that is why Romeo Langford and even Trace Jackson Davis already, but will be down the road as he, I think, enters a pro career. Those are huge recruiting benefits for Indiana. There's no question about that. The return to campus, the return to sports at IU, Cliff Marshall, who is kind of the guy that keeps us posted behind the scenes in the summer with pictures or videos of what the players are going through. Normally it's a lot of basketball-specific stuff and just a lot of general strength and conditioning training. He had a little video, so hopefully he's going to keep this up even in this COVID time where workouts are voluntary. He's going up to the door. I'm assuming it was at Cook Hall where his office and the IU basketball weight room is. Going up to the door, this building is locked. Essential personnel only sign. He peels it off the door, puts his key in, you know, just kind of getting everybody excited, unlocks the door, goes into the weight room, turn the lights on. You see the lights come on in the background, obviously signaling that they're getting back to work in Bloomington. So hopefully we continue to get some updates from Coach Marshall, but it seems like there is now activity with IU basketball players in Bloomington, at least from a strength and conditioning standpoint, and we believe that Cliff Marshall is the coach, the strength and conditioning coach that would be overseeing or is overseeing a lot of those activities. As far as the COVID-19 sports front goes, yesterday, Texas, the University of Texas, announced that 13 football players tested positive for the virus and have been put in self-isolation. Also, they identified four in their testing. They're not only testing for the virus currently, but to see if you have antibodies of the virus. They had four players who came to campus with antibodies for the virus. So, you know, there's 17 there, 13 that I guess could still possibly infect other people. But, you know, you're seeing numbers across the country for schools that are telling the media what's going on. Not heard a word from anyone locally as far as Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky on any cases as players report back, whether they have them or don't have them. But again, you're seeing cases pop up pretty standard across the country as players return to campus. And that's on the heels yesterday, the Texas 13 of Dr. Fauci saying that football, I think he was primarily talking about pro football, if I understand correctly, but they really need to follow like a bubble format, which is what the MLB and Major League Soccer are proposing, and it looks like are going to follow as they return to play this summer. And you think about NFL players, could they put them in a bubble? Could they put them in hotels? Could they do the necessary things? Absolutely, they could. Do they have the money? Yes. Can they still make money? I assume so, because television is such a huge part of professional football, really like it is all sports nowadays. Obviously, no fans and additional cost, not going to be a good financial standing for any league, but I think they could still go on with it and probably afford to do so and get through it for this upcoming season. But think about college football. These players are returning to campus. Yes, can some of the classes be virtual? I'm sure that some will. Will some be every other day so they're small numbers? Absolutely. But in a college campus situation, classes or not, it's just hard to believe that you can put players truly in a bubble like you might be able to do with professional sports. And really, it's kind of hard to believe you can do it in professional sports. I mean, there's going to be so many people that want to come around, families of players, girlfriends, wives of players, just a lot of things to think about. So when you see numbers like 13 at Texas and 4 or 5 here and 6 here and 2 here, that have been positive cases as they return to colleges, it's really going to be interesting to see how this works as players return to campus, because even once they get through the initial screening, if they're not kept 100% in a bubble with players and staff that have been tested and don't have the virus and they're being tested on a regular basis, obviously they're opening themselves up to being infected. So going to be interesting. There's no question about it. I say this word a lot. When it comes to sports, sports are always interesting. They are always fun. But it's going to be extra interesting to follow what happens, how it happens, what's allowed with fans, what's allowed for the players and the participants and the coaches as far as a living situation and what restrictions they are held to and just how all this stuff works and what happens. There's going to be, I mean, we know this, there's going to be in some sport, in some league, with some university somewhere, college, pro, whatever, there's going to be infections at some point. A team's going to get sick, multiple players. You have to assume that. You have to prepare for that if you're those schools or those leagues. What happens? Does play stop with that team? Does the team just lose a game that was expecting to play that team on the weekend or whenever the game was scheduled? No question that they're interesting moments. That's the key word for me with sports right now as we talk about going again. Interesting moments ahead. Also, a high school note, this is a really cool deal. The 2020 Johnny Bench Awards, honoring the top college and high school baseball and softball catchers, were announced a few days ago. And from my understanding, normally this award is given out based on your senior year to catchers and at the high school and college level. But because there was no spring sports season, both in the college ranks or the high school level, they are giving it out based on kind of your cumulative stats, your cumulative effort over 3 years for most situations of high school or college baseball or softball. They gave a top NCAA male catcher. They gave a top NCAA female catcher for softball. They gave a top catcher baseball softball from Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Indiana. And in Indiana, Taryn Weddle of Floyd Central High School. She's the Johnny Bench Catcher of the Year, honoring the top high school softball catcher in the state of Indiana. And she was one of our senior spotlight athletes that we profiled a few weeks ago as we were going through all the seniors that did not get a senior opportunity to take the field or the arena for their local high school team one more time. But a big honor for Taryn Weddle of Floyd Central to get the Johnny Bench Award as a catcher. That's big stuff for her. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Friday edition of the program. Zaxby's has locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. The drive-thru is still open. They're very efficient in the drive-thru. And the dining rooms, I believe, now open as well at Zaxby's at both locations. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Josh Rogers, former New Albany baseball standout, played a little basketball there as well. Also, U of L baseball star, drafted by the Yankees, now playing for the Orioles, trying to get past a second Tommy John arm injury. He joins us for an update on what's going on with him, what's going on with baseball, and a lot more coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back with the opportunity today to hear from Josh Rogers. He's a New Albany native in the Baltimore Orioles organization, of course, U of L baseball alumni as well. And he's been home in New Albany for a while now during all this coronavirus situation, which, of course, has shut down not just Major League Baseball, but shorts basically across the board. Josh, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us today. I know that in the world of baseball, it's kind of touch and go right now on if there could be some sort of major league season at some point later this summer. I don't want to press you too hard on this, but any thoughts on ultimately will there be some games or will there not be a games in season?
Oh, man. Anytime I get on here and chat with you for a few is always a pleasure. So thanks for having me, first of all,
yes,
Matt.
Yes, yes.
Secondly, man, I hope so. It's been crazy with what's going on with the proposals, kind of going back and forth with the owners and the commissioner and the players union, just like back and forth, back and forth. I think yesterday we kind of hit a point where it's a little bit like the proposal's a little closer to like what the players union's kind of been wanting for and has been looking for as far as getting, you know, the prorated salaries and all that kind of stuff. But I still think we're a little ways off. I know maybe some people saw some reports of like there was an agreement out there, but like as of right now, there's definitely not. You know, there's a couple underlying things in that proposal that didn't get as much like attention as probably like, you know, the prorated salary did, which is something the players want. But there's a couple other things with the grievance clauses and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty in depth kind of stuff. So if we can work a couple of those things out, I think we could definitely have a season. The players I know want to probably play some more games than just 60. You know, being that the MLB season is normally 162 games, you know, I think we want to play some more games.
Josh Rogers is joining me now. For you personally, I know you want to be out there pitching, you want to be involved, you want to be living life as normal. But for a guy that just came off a second Tommy John surgery, I would have to imagine that some time at home, some time to rehab, some time just to let your arm heal as well has probably been beneficial during some of this shutdown and stay-at-home period where you really couldn't do much.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, it's not a blessing in disguise because I want to watch baseball just as much as everybody else, but it kind of worked out nicely for me as far as, you know, I'm not missing, you know, really anything. Which I was going to miss the whole season. So, it's kind of working out as far as, you know, I'm still doing my exact rehab, exactly what I would be doing as if I was in Florida, or in Sarasota, you know, at our facility training. You know, I get to train here, I get to throw here and, work out and do all that kind of stuff. So as far as that, you know, everything's been on pace for me. I'm checking all the boxes and, working my way back. So you know, the longer this thing lasts, I wouldn't say it's better for me just because it's not good for the game in general. But for me personally, on a personal level, it's not the worst thing ever, not having baseball as far as, you know, me being out this season.
Josh, talk about your arm, the health of your arm, and if and when we do get back to baseball at some point this summer, what would be, I think, still on a rehab path right now, what would be the path for you to actually pitch some games and get back in the full swing of things before getting another opportunity with the Orioles?
Yeah, I definitely would go. I'll definitely have to be on like a rehab stint, is what they call it, kind of thing. So I'll have to go just to the minor leagues for a little bit, just to make sure I'm healthy and get back into game shape. I mean, I haven't pitched in a game since like June, I think 26th of last year. So we're coming up on a year of that. But the crazy thing is I'm not the only one now that, you know, the season hasn't been going on. So it's going to take a while, and it's definitely, when baseball comes back, it's going to be an adjustment for everybody because, you know, we're going to start the season hopefully like in July. And it's definitely will be a little bit different. So guys won't be in their, you know, mid-shape form as when they normally would be. So I think it'll definitely be an adjustment for a lot of guys. But for me personally, this year probably, you know, unless we're playing into November, December, I doubt that I could rejoin with the big league club this year. It's probably off the table, but because my physical therapist and everything, we've kind of set the bar for me to be 100% go for spring training 2021 and to, you know, hopefully make the team out of camp next year and being ready to go and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Josh Rogers is joining me here on this edition of the Hoosier Report. I still remember your ascent to the major leagues, to the Orioles from the minor leagues after you'd been traded by the Yankees organization, because everyone in New Albany and really beyond in Southern Indiana that's followed you throughout your high school, college, and minor league and professional career were excited to see you get an opportunity to pitch. And I can remember gathering with a lot of other New Albany and again, just area people to watch you in that first outing. And I know you take a great sense of pride in knowing when you pitch, like a lot of players, that you've got big support back in your home community. But knowing sports and knowing baseball in this area, I got to believe that you've got a little extra boost from that. What's it like to know and to hear from so many people when you're getting ready to pitch or after you've pitched that, you know, we're gathered, we're watching, we're cheering from you? I know that that's kind of expected here in our sports crazy area, but how's it feel to have that kind of support?
It's awesome. I mean, our town's so neat because it's a small town for sure. And, you know, I think it can work to disadvantage sometimes, you know, everybody kind of knows everything. But as far as the support that I've gotten, you know, throughout my whole career, you know, even in high school, kind of, you know, when I was pitching well, it was just neat to see, you know, people really reach out and supporting. And I get, you know, tweets and Facebook messages and, you know, people text me all the time, you know, wishing me luck. So it's obvious, it's awesome. Just to see the community kind of come together. I know, down at Bear Nose on Charlestown Road and Buffalo Wild Wings up in Clarksville was packed, and, you know, a couple other spots that for that debut in 2018. And, you know, I got people, you know, friends and my high school coach drove up to Baltimore to watch my debut, and it just means a lot. You know, it's a lot of fun to be around here, and, you know, I love being out into the community as much as I can, you know, when I'm home, and trying to head out to the Little League soon and check them out down there, and just to be around and show my face, and it's a really cool town to be a part of.
Josh, what have you been up to? I know golf is a big hobby, something that you really enjoy and something that you're also very good at. I have to imagine that during some of this pretty good weather we've had, especially recently, not a lot of rain and not a lot forecasted for the next week or so, I got to believe you're hitting the links as often as you possibly can.
Yeah, I've definitely been wearing out the golf courses around here for sure. So I know Coach Wheeler's trying to get a match at me here soon. So I'm gonna have to put him in his place here soon. So I told him I've been playing a lot. So I've gave him a fair warning. So you have to stay tuned for that. But no, I've definitely got to get out and play some golf. Spend some time with, you know, some of my best friends that I've been around. I haven't got to be around in the summer. You know, I've been hanging out with my family a ton, just being able to come home and, and just kind of, you know, take a step back. It's pretty, you know, the lifestyle and all that kind of stuff can kind of speed up on you. And, you know, the whole coronavirus thing is, you know, terrible, but it gives you a chance to kind of slow some things down and just kind of not humble you, but just, you know, just kind of slow down, take a step back and just kind of relax for a little bit. Not that I haven't been like working and stuff like that, you know, in baseball, but just to kind of, you know, spend some time with the family and some of my friends. And, you know, I haven't been home in the summer since probably, I mean, my sophomore year in high school, really. So I've been playing, you know, summer baseball, travel baseball, all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to kind of just be here and enjoy the time, you know, with those people.
How about the Little League getting back at it? New Albany is one of a few little leagues in the area that actually did move forward with a delayed start to their season. There won't be the Little League World Series. I know some of the local teams were gearing up for that and probably had great chances to make a run deep into the tournament. That won't happen, but the basic Little League, the regular season, it's going on now at that new Albany facility on Charlestown Road. And from all accounts, I've not been out for any games yet, but pretty good turnout, packed, doing a little social distancing. There's a couple extra requirements to keep kids as healthy as possible while still getting the opportunity to play. And I guess baseball really isn't really a contact sport. Very rare occurrences would there be contact between two players and really close distance between two players. But how about that? They're not going to miss a beat as far as getting some baseball in this year, and I'm sure that a lot of those kids really need something, and we're looking forward to getting out and getting into some kind of activity after the shutdown.
I think it's great. I wish that you know, the owners of our teams and commissioner of our teams would kind of look at what's going on, like in Little League even. You know, it's crazy. It's awesome that those kids get to get out and, you know, have a summer of playing and getting outside and being a part of the Little League. Cause, you know, that's a huge part of me. And I love that Little League and, you know, was a part of it for, you know, many, many years. And we had pretty good runs and, you know, and since then it's been, you know, I think one of the most dominant Little Leagues in the state. So it's really neat to watch it grow, and the new facility is incredible. I mean, they did an unbelievable job with it out there. So I definitely am going to be stopping in out there and watching some games just to see some baseball, see some faces, and it'll be a neat time to enjoy for sure.
Josh, you also have had a really good relationship with Romeo Langford, who obviously is with the Celtics right now. They've been in the middle of a shutdown, but we think close to a restart later this summer in Orlando. Do you guys communicate much? I know you kind of are on two different paths, but you do share some similarities of being a pro athlete and some of the demands that come along with that type of lifestyle. Do you hear from Romeo much since he's been in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, I'll chat with Ro a little bit. You know, I don't bug him too much. I know he's got a lot going on, and but yeah, we chat. I mean, we chat probably, you know, once every couple of weeks. You know, I hit him up, or he'll say something to me or something. Just normally, just messing with each other, just kind of joking around or something. But he's a great guy. I mean, he's a perfect role model for all the kids around here for sure. That, you know, have basketball dreams and, you know, want to follow somebody. You just kind of could see how he grew and, you know, through high school, and how he was, you know, just, he stayed very humble and just, you know, showed a lot of appreciation, you know, for his fan base around here, and, you know, always signing for the kids, always taking time to, you know, take pictures with kids and heck, even adults. I think the adults in New Albany might like him more than the kids, honestly, you know it?
good point, Josh. Before we let you go, just a couple quick hitters. What was the biggest adjustment for you when you became a pro baseball player? Obviously, there's pressure on the field. There's requirements you've got to do for the team. There's the practices and, of course, 162 grueling game schedule with a lot of travel. But what was the biggest thing going from New Albany, going from the University of Louisville to the pros that really caught your attention? Was it something with the travel? Was it something with the lifestyle? What was maybe one of the hardest off-the-field adjustments?
I think just, like, people don't understand the grind and how and of the season, really. You know, in college, you play a midweek game and you play three games on the weekend, which is no big deal. And it feels like in college, man, like we're playing every day. This seems like a lot. But I think the biggest adjustment for sure was that, you know, going from that 60, 70 game, you know, spring, summer or whatever to really, you know, having to play every single day and being on the road. And, you know, it's like you go from Pawtucket, and then you go down to Norfolk, Virginia, and then you go back up to Scranton, Pennsylvania. So it's a lot. It's a it's, you know, you're on the bus a lot. And that was the biggest part of the biggest adjustment for me was just, you know, and realizing it was my job now and not like a, you know, it's not like a, you know, I don't get to go out to, you know, I can't do bad. I got to perform every single night. And just to continue to try to get better was my biggest thing. So it was definitely an adjustment, but the big leagues is a heck of a lot better than the minor leagues. I can tell you that. Those you get on nicer planes and you get some better food, better hotels, and it's a pretty cool lifestyle. And it's something I'm definitely working hard to try to get back to.
And Josh, how about the new baseball facility for the high school at New Albany? There's a new baseball softball field being constructed. Off of Mount Tabor Road there in the old spot. It's coming together nicely. I know you've probably had a chance to see it up close and personal with Coach McIntyre. What a nice facility for baseball and softball that's going to be.
Man, they're doing a great job with it. I can't wait to see the finished product. I know the dugouts are in. I think they brought the bleachers in a couple days ago. And I think the turf's going to be going in shortly. From the pictures I saw yesterday, I think they've got it like laid, like leveled out all the infield and all that stuff. So, I mean, they're doing an awesome job. And, you know, I loved that park. I mean, that's where I grew up, you know, at Mount Tabor, the Little League, and then right to the high school field. So it was awesome to, you know, to see the new places and to turn over, but those old places always mean something to me. But I definitely know that Coach McIntyre is super excited about it, and they've been wanting turf for a long time. So they'll be able to get out there and, you know, when it's rainy or if it's snowing or anything, you know, and hit ground balls, take infield. And it'll definitely be a huge benefit for the program.
Absolutely. Josh Rogers, New Albany native, member of the Baltimore Orioles organization. Josh, thanks for the chat, the update. We hope that you and many other major leaguers are playing baseball very soon, and we look forward to following your career as you come back from rehab. And we hope have a long and healthy career.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Hopefully I'll see you soon around here.
Josh Rogers with us. Great to catch up with him, and we'll continue to keep an eye on him and some of the other players that have went on to enter minor leagues and we hope pro careers down the road from our local area here. It's been a good breeding ground in recent years for baseball. There's no question about that. I've had a couple questions about, Matt, we want to see some basketball and the basketball tournament, the TBT for short. It's $1 million prize this year. Last year it was up to $2 million. We've talked some about it. It's going to be on ESPN starting in early July. And some of the questions have been, is there an IU alumni team? And unfortunately, no. The pairings, the bracket came out. It's a 24-team tournament, July 4th through the 14th in Columbus, Ohio. Set up a little different, not as many teams, obviously no fans, pretty limited on who can get in because of the coronavirus. But Purdue, Illinois, and Ohio State, they do have alumni-type teams in the bracket this year. There's never, to my knowledge, been a full IU alumni team in. I think a few years ago there was a pretty decent group of IU alums that entered the tournament, were able to get a spot in the tournament. I do know that Remy Abel and Maurice Creek, two former IU guys with connections there to the program, they are playing on Team Sideline Cancer that is going after the $1 million prize in the TBT tournament. But again, as far as an IU team, as far as watching one whole group of former Indiana players, unfortunately not an entry this year from IU alumni in the basketball tournament, competing for a $1 million prize coming up here. But we will get some basketball. There's a lot of notable names in the TBT this year. We'll be talking more about it as we get closer to the start of the event. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with our final segment today. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins. We'll talk basketball. Deontay Davis gets an IU offer. More on him. Some other in-state players as well. After this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back, final segment of the week here with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. And Kyle, I want to start with Deontay Davis, who's now at Warren Central, leaving Lawrence Central after his father was hired to lead the Warren Central boys basketball program. He got an offer, a scholarship offer from Archie Miller earlier this week. He's a member of the 2022 class. He'll be a junior when school resumes. And, of course, his older brother, Dre Davis, is graduating now and will be headed to play basketball next season across the river at the University of Louisville. Tell us about Deontay Davis. I think he's better known as maybe Tay Davis is how he's referred to most commonly. He's quite a player and a prospect that's beginning to draw a lot of high major Division I attention.
Yeah, he is. He goes by either one, but Tay is probably how he's more known. And I thought he really kind of came on as a sophomore in the second half of this past season, and he was really assertive. I thought they had a tough sectional game against Lawrence North, and you know, as we know, they lost to Lawrence North three times. There's only three losses of the season, but I thought he really showed up and played well that game, and I think showed what, you know, he can become. He's a really long, probably even longer than his brother, DeAndre, who's headed to Louisville next season. And, you know, he's still, you know, at his age, still relatively raw, but he's, you know, like you said, his dad's the coach at Warren Central now. So he'll be transferring over to Warren before next season, but, you know, really like his game, a good kid too, you know, seems to understand the game really well. You know, good rebounder, aggressive type of player. And you know, he's even more of a guard, I think, than probably what people would expect for a kid his size. He can handle the ball well. He can shoot it well from the outside. And, you know, you could see it even last year as a freshman. He played mostly on the JV team. But you could see a kid just brimming with potential and confidence as the season went along. And, you know, can't wait to see what he, you know, is able to accomplish. And, you know, I was texting with him earlier in the week, you know, before the IU offer came about. And, you know, he was saying all the teams that had contacted him since the 2022 class was able to be reached out to by college coaches. And, you know, IU was in that mix. And I know people wonder sometimes if, you know, Louisville's kind of a lock because of the, you know, the family connection, but I don't sense that's the case. And, you know, that's, as we know, that's such a long way off in recruiting that, you know, who knows what happens from now until when he commits. But, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of offers for Tay Davis when all is said and done. And, you know, his brother had committed to Nebraska originally, you know, decommitted when the coaching change came about, and then ended up at Louisville. So I think Louisville will be a factor for Tay as well. But he's going to have a lot of options, including now IU as of this week.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Hey, we've talked some about this, but kind of remind us or expand on it. The 2021 class is just another fantastic class in our state. We know that with Trey Kaufman and Caleb First and many, many, many others. 2022, though, it's not going to be much of a letdown. It's also going to be fairly strong, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, you know, especially when you look at a guy like Tay, who's just, you know, I think he'll end up being a, you know, a top 40, you know, type of player, top 50 or whatever, you know, not knowing fully what the nation holds, but knowing a player like that and the potential that he has, you know, I think he fits right into that mix. And we saw a couple other guys, Leland Walker from North Central, had a really, really good season this past year and got an offer from Xavier just this week. You know, Pete Suter, who's at Carmel, you know, he's probably more mid-major, got his first offer this week. Charlie Williams from Carmel, too, 6'10", got an offer from Florida Atlantic, so he'll be a name to watch, see if he can get kind of on that radar from mid-major to high-major potentially. It may not have the, you know, I think it's yet to be seen, and maybe we won't even know because the lack of AAU that we'll be able to see this summer. Although I'm going to try to get out to some, you know, a little bit starting this weekend, but next weekend, but we may not know exactly what the depth of this class is or even what the high end potential is just because, you know, we're not able to see it as much as we normally would or even hardly at all because of the coronavirus situation. But, you know, I think that class is a solid, you know, Jalen Washington, of course, too, is kind of the headliner from Gary West, who has all kinds of interest and offers and that sort of thing. So he's going to be, you know, probably the number one guy when all said and done, and I would agree with that based on having seen him play. But I think there's a lot of other good players in that class too, and Central Indiana's solid all around in that class as well. So looking forward to covering those guys here the next couple of years.
Kyle, you mentioned basketball this weekend. Technically, according to the Back on Track Indiana plan from the governor's office, you can play basketball in Indiana, like a full-fledged game, if I'm reading it correctly, later today or today starts the ability to do so. And there is a tournament or two scheduled in Indianapolis for travel teams of different ages.
Yeah, there is. It's I wouldn't say it's a super high. You know, Indiana Elite's not playing. Their top team's not playing. The Indy Heat team is playing up in Fort Wayne a couple of games. I know there's a little tournament in Lafayette. There's something going on at the factory. It's all kind of a little bit fractured, as far as that goes. But I'm going to get out and see a little bit this weekend. Not a ton, probably, but just kind of a chance to get back in the gym. Wear a mask and watch some basketball, and that's pretty much the extent of it at this point. There's no college coaches, obviously. That won't happen until at least August, as we know. We've talked with you on the show, Matt, a lot about what's right or what we're doing and what's wrong, or we don't. It's hard to know exactly, but hopefully people get out there stay safe and. My own youngest son's up back to playing some baseball again, which I think is good. Hopefully, we don't see a mass increase, but I know there are some concerns, and looking at these colleges that are coming back, a lot of kids at the college level are testing positive and probably not a big surprise. Once you start testing, groups like that, you're probably going to find some of that. So it looks like a little bit murky, as far as what we're getting into, and I don't know what the future holds, but, I hope we can pull it off and be able to stay safe.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenriff of the Indianapolis Star. We saw earlier this week at least a proposal for a fall recruiting period, and, of course, in that period, you've got two weekends in August, one for AAU non-scholastic stuff, the other for scholastic stuff, which is something that would have to be approved through the High School Association, and the same in September. So four potential weekends, four two-day periods, two of those for grassroots, AAU, shoe company stuff, and then two for things that are approved and that are somewhat connected to high school ball, scholastic ball. I thought maybe had the NCAA approved it, it didn't make it to the table at the official meeting. So they're gonna maybe 2 weeks or so from now we'll know, it sounds like. But if that's approved, could we see like a Charlie Hughes shootout, which is the best high school teams normally in June, playing over a weekend at Indianapolis in a tournament format in front of college coaches? Could we see that maybe in August or September?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's the hope. That was the hope from the IBCA. And I haven't talked to Steve Whitty in a little while, but, when I talked to him last, that was kind of the hope that they were kind of holding out for, that they could maybe do it in August, do it in front of college coaches still. And I think that still remains the case. And I think at that time there was more talk of maybe one weekend in August, one in September, one in October. So as you said, that's it's changed a little bit. October's probably – maybe they figured that was too deep into getting close to the high school basketball season. But at the same time, I think it would be good if there's some way to do it. I know Brian Snow's a friend of mine, and I saw what he said about, these older coaches aren't going to want to do that even at that time. And I have to admit, I that might be the case. I mean, I don't know what that looks like as far as putting a whole bunch of coaches in a smaller type gym and venue. I don't know how that looks. Maybe they're all wearing masks, and they do it that way. But again, I think if you're looking at it strictly from a case of exposure for the 2021 class, I hope it happens because, man, not a lot of these kids are frustrated. They just haven't been able to kind of help their stock, and I feel for them, cause that's tough. I mean, you don't get that opportunity to go prove yourself, in front of coaches. And as we know, I don't know how many times I've seen kids be able to do that and help their stock. And you know, go put on a great performance in a tournament, or just, you know, show off how much they've improved, you know, since the high school season got over in that sort of venue. So I hope for their sake it happens, but I think we'll wait and see. I think I get the sense that something will happen. I just don't know how many weekends or you know, what exactly it looks like. But I hope the high school's affiliated, the high school weekend happens for sure. And you know, hopefully for the AAU teams too. But I'd love to see them still be able to pull off that Charlie Hughes shootout, and we're able to get out there and watch it, even if it's a couple months later.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle, we've just got a couple minutes left, but I want to close with this. We know Anthony Leal, Bloomington South, headed to IU. He's the 2020 Indy Star Mr. Basketball. That was made official last night at your award ceremony, which obviously is typically a big deal, typically a big event where people attend in person. But still, nonetheless, pretty cool, the actual person announcing the winner, the official announcement on Anthony Leal at the awards ceremony last night, was an NBA standout.
Yeah, it was a neat deal. You know, I know it's not what it normally has been, and I love that banquet that we've been able to do, and hopefully we can get back to regular next year and do it again. But for a kind of a backup plan, I thought it worked out really well. We're still able to award and honor, you know, even the finalists, the ones who don't win it. We're at least able to be mentioned and be part of that program. And, you know, even going back to Mr. Football with Charlie Spiegel, and he got our Boys Athlete of the Year as well after breaking the state rushing record, and he's headed to IU now. But, you know, that'll be that. I thought it was, you know, well done. It was a slick performance, I thought, and was glad they were able to pull that off, you know, in some form or fashion at least, and honor those kids from that senior class. And we talked about 2021, but, you know, those 2020 kids didn't even get a chance to finish their season, their school year. So good to see a lot of those guys and girls get honored and be part of that program. I was glad to see we were able to do that and put the effort forth to make it happen.
Absolutely. Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too, Matt. Thank you.
Absolutely. And again, Steph Curry making that announcement last night that Anthony Leal, Mr. Basketball here in the Hoosier State officially for 2020. Have a great weekend. Back with you Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.